The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. 7 minutes after midday, we're on till one, and you're invited to give us your opinion by calling 66 13 68, text 166 177, WhatsApp, same number, email studio@manxradio.com. I mentioned I got lots of messages to get through because we get lots and lots of messages. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of messages every day. Not everyone can be read on the air, but just be aware that everything does get read by members here. I've got lots of stuff to reply to. So we'll get to it. Oh, first of all, on the phone, Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just interest that yesterday it was, you had on the news a feature about the cruise ship coming in. And apparently, I didn't know it, but a lot of the passengers on there had wanted to go on the train. I could hear the trains, and I thought that's a lot of movement down there today, so there must have been quite a few going and extra trains on. But what they found was, once they disembarked from the little ships bringing them in, they had to find their own way, basically, down to the railway station.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You pay thousands of pounds to go on a cruise liner. You pay to come ashore, and they say, make your own way.
Yeah. Plus the fact that the weather was nice. It was good. But there were quite a few. And the interviews of one of the staff from Manx Radio were down, and they weren't overjoyed, shall I say. They weren't complaining, but they weren't happy. The fact that they had to walk from the point down on the pier down to the railway station. Now, this is classic DOI bus vanning. As I was saying to Chris, in the 1970s, I was a professional beggar, as we called them. I drove coaches, and we used to carry people all over the island. And the DOI and bus vanning have decimated the coach industry here on the island. They tried to do the same with the taxis, but they were using taxpayers' money to buy buses, which they then used to put the tours industry out of business. And now they don't have the drivers or the buses, etc. And I've asked this before, to accommodate the number of people that's coming to the island. And the question I asked once before, I'm not saying that these chaps is driving the buses any problems that way, but are they conversant with the Isle of Man? Do they give any sort of commentary, or do the bus vanmen have to hire the blue badge guides? But for these people to have to walk down, when they've got dozens of little minibuses sitting there, they could have run a shuttle service from the sea terminal. Even when Tours Isle of Man were working, they used to have three or four minibuses picking up from all along the promenade to take people, passengers, to the Crescent Cinema, where the main coach stand was.
And Howard, anybody who knows anything about marketing, if you go on a marketing course, one of the things that they say is first impressions matter. So the first thing that those passengers, when they came off the tenders and walked out of the sea terminal, perhaps they were expecting a little luxury coach to take them to the steam railway station. And what they got told was, stroll on down there. You're going past two brownfield sites, a bus station that's derelict, and make her in the steaming sunshine.
Yeah, and they'd only have to look across the harbour and you see the derelict site on the other side, walk around the scaffold at Newsom's and down to the railway station.
Can you imagine what they were saying at dinner last night on the boat? What did you think? Well, we had to walk to the steam railway. Nice railway, really good railway, good journey, but we had to walk there and back.
Exactly. And as a couple of them said on your program, well, not your program, on the news program, there were elderly people and a couple in wheelchairs. Now, that's not conducive to good tourism and people that are sitting there in their ivory towers and they won't come out and look and see what's happening. They used to have agents with the tour groups here on the island, Tours Isle of Man, the Highlander, and various others they used, and they would have people looking after, and they are guests. They're not just people, they are guests. But, you know, this is the ridiculous part about it. They come on all the radio stations, etc., blowing their trumpets. And this is a classic example. They were just hit lucky because the weather was good. If the weather had been inclement, cloudy, otherwise, these self-same people would have had to walk.
I'm guessing, Howard, that when you were a coach driver, you mm-hmm. could learn to read the people on the coach. You could look at the coach and know which people were happy and which people needed a bit of attention. And that's called customer care.
Yeah. Well, if they weren't happy, we used to rely on tips. That's what the reference to a professional beggars. If you didn't have the people happy on your coach, we still call them the Royal March. If they got off the coach and never got a tip, you knew you'd been something wrong.
Yeah.
And this is what the people in the government who are looking after, supposedly, allegedly, these people, I bet they never went out of the office and met one of them.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't even know who's coming, what's coming, and why. This is the ridiculous part about it. And as for going on the buses, I know this is some, well, they're new coaches to the island, so to speak, and they were down at Balfane, Opal, I think. Is it Opal? They've got some extra coaches. But these are the ones who are the drivers. They are conversing with the island. They can chat and they can talk to people, but a bus driver, no harm to them, they're doing their job, what they're trained to do, bus driving.
Yeah.
And that's the total difference. But it's interesting this morning to hear John Wannenberg, and he was repeating more or less what I said to you last week about the cost once they put the wind farm up. What is the inherent costs afterwards? Are we going to have a repeat of the $170 million for the Pullrose Power Station and then have an inquiry afterwards and everybody, well, they're all coated in Teflon because nothing stuck to them. And that money is now being paid by the consumers and will be for quite a number of years.
But Howard, surely the politicians will know that after the power station going over budget, I mean, the hospital went slightly over budget as well, and obviously the Liverpool landing stage is way out of sight. Surely the politicians know that this simply can't happen.
It will. Sure as night come after day, you know, it's going to happen because these ones are in there now. They've only got 18 months. And if they don't get back in again, then they'll have their pension. They'll just sit back and do another job somewhere else. But it's also be left here holding the baby. And like we are doing now, and that's 170 mil. That 400 million they borrowed, it's a loan, it's not a gift. And they've paid some of that to the steam packet, right? That's going to be paid back because they're making a profit. What? The MUA, some of that's gone to pay off their debts. And they're now given all the lowest figures they can give to push through this wind farm. And now John Wannenberg saying, oh, that was 2 years ago. That was 23 million. Well, I can reckon there'll be 100 million just for the wind farm.
Oh, wow.
But, but that's something that one's looking into is why those people were left to walk.
Okay.
Because that is not conducive to good tourism.
I got a note in from Vernon here, and he said, what you were talking about private enterprise drivers relying on tips, he said that's the difference between private enterprise and the government.
I know Vernon. I've known Vernon for many, many years. And he is an honest man, and he does exactly what was needed. I don't know if he does it now. He hasn't been too well. But he used to transport people on private hire all over the island. And that man can talk to people and work with people and recognise the needs of people.
Okay.
And this is what bus drivers are doing a good job, yes. But you've got to be in a position where you can recognise all those things that your people are your guests and your customers.
Appreciate it, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, 17 minutes past 12. A note in from Andy. Another Andy says, Howard mentioned buses. I'm told there are now 9 buses off the road. Can't be fixed on the Isle of Man due to computerised electronics. Is that true? Anybody fill us in on that? Heaven help commuters if the DOI buys electric buses. And regarding the Manx Highway Code, cyclists now have priority on the highway with the new legislation, so it's about time that they must display a formal plate number indicating that they've passed a theory and a practical cycling test to show some type of indication that they're educated in the Highway Code, says Big John. Thanks also to this is a WhatsApper, and you are 528. Customer care, well said. So another message in, and this from Hazel, who says, one of the best bus drivers who never stopped talking to tourists was Bernie May, former MHK Bernie May, when he was a bus driver, apparently knew the Isle of Man backwards and would often sing to them. Days of Bernie May and the Falcons, eh? Right, David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick couple of issues there, which we need answers for. One is to do with, well, I'll ask you the question. You know the dredger they had in the harbour?
Yeah.
What do dredgers do?
Well, they dredge sort of mud and stuff off the bottom of the seabed and take it out and then throw it out at sea.
Yeah, but what did the little vessel do that everybody looked at, which was going up and down, blowing bubbles and stuff underneath the vessel? It was only small. I never seen anything getting grabbed out from underneath like the Manannan used to do. Their vessel used to grab all the material out, and it had a bottom that came out. They went out to the back of Douglas Head there and dropped it. So we paid $70,000 odd for that. I'm just wondering whether one of these politicians or the Public Accounts Committee can inquire into, did we actually get value for money from that little exercise?
Well, apparently, it's got to be ongoing. I think the other one's still being mended, which got bent out of shape. That one's still being mended, so we're having to rent. And I think the one that we had, that we rented, I think, however much it was per day, and we then paid for the amount of stuff that got dredged away. That's the one that's in Heysham Harbour, because Heysham needs dredging all the time, really.
Yeah, yeah. The other issue now is, too, and it's a big one, too, because the minister, instead of messing about with the buses down at Craigneish, make a decision, either yes or no, and get on with it. And let's get some other bits done that requires around the island. And here we have £150,000 worth of 20-mile-an-hour signs are going to be placed between Douglas and Ogden. Do you know, for a fact, and I'm an individual commissioner, we've asked to see where they're going to be located, what routes they're going to be on, what they look like. No answer. Is this a government department that's treating its population? You know, you're going to have this whether you like it or not. And people need to know, A, why is it costing $150,000 to do this in both areas close to one another? When even in Onken, we have two areas, Birchill and Ballacurry, which are 20-mile-an-hour zones anyway, and are covered by near the schools.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of signs going to go up somewhere, and a lot of people are going to get upset when they start digging these poles out, or that place where they're going to put the poles in. And we need to find out where they're going to go.
Yeah. Oh, I got a message in from a lady called Linda who said, I miss David's updates on John. How is John?
Oh, yeah, John's great. He's in a sheltered unit in Onken. He loves it. And I did thank people. The amount of people that give him from an air fryer, brand new air fryer, to blankets, to a dressing gown. I donated a dressing gown to him, all sorts of stuff, and to a lady that was down south, who actually gave him, well, there was a couple right around the island. It's amazing what people do, is a microwave and stuff like that, and he's living, he's back together. I ring him now and again, because this little unit is not far from me, so he's enjoying himself, and I know the people who are in there now welcomed him, and he goes to the coffee mornings or sits in with them now and again and enjoying life.
Good,
and
pass the message on that we often get messages here about him, just to make sure that he's okay, so send our best wishes.
Yeah, but he's not the only one, Andy. The problem is, in the Isle of Man, and I listen to them about what they're going to do for TT Week. What a nonsense that. What are we doing for the 52 weeks of the year, instead of when people are going to get turfed out of houses or hotels, and still got this in back of my mind, where the government or one of the agents said to me, oh, spend his money, and when he's got no money, we'll help him. That's not the way the operation of the Isle of Man is.
Okay.
All right, mate?
All right, thanks for calling today. All right.
Bye-bye.
Cheers now. 23 minutes past 12. We've got two boats coming this weekend. Well, one on Saturday and one on Monday. L'Oréal is on the, what is it? It's the Compagnie de Ponant line. That's on Saturday the 17th. And Exploris 1 is in with us on Monday. So we'll wait and see. All of those tourists off the cruise ship pay thousands to the cruise line. Shouldn't the cruise line have arranged for a shuttle to the train station? I don't know. Does that work? Does that work in other places? Because it depends what other places do. And if you're in customer care, how would you feel? I mean, how would the cruise line feel if, you know, they, and these people take feedback as a matter of course. Somebody will be filling in a form somewhere and an online review of what it's like. And what will they say about the Isle of Man if you know, if you are dealing with people who are on a luxury cruise liner, what do we do? Do we just say, well, it's the Isle of Man and that's what it is? Or do we aim to match what they get on the boat itself? If you go on cruises, tell me what happens elsewhere. As somebody who's been on several cruise holidays, says Stan, on more than one company also, first, you don't have to pay to come ashore on a tender. If you book the excursion on the train, you would have been collected by coach. These people choose to do their own thing. Also, shuttle buses are arranged by the ship, not the port. They're free depending on how you book your cruise, but only if the ship's berth is a certain distance from a town or a city, says Stan. And the dredger lifted silt can't now be dumped because there's no immediate inshore location for the silt to settle. So all they can do is use a water jet to disturb the silt and hope it gets redistributed and in part then washed out on the tide, says Andy. Back to the lines, and we've got Martin's with us. Hi, Martin.
Hiya. First of all, I'd like to say that I was on the bus the other day and some people from the cruise liner were going to the train station, and the only way you can help people is by being courteous to them, you know, by showing them a little Manx courtesy and all, you know.
Good.
Anyway, and after the 20 mph zone.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to Trade Away, you know?
What do you
time
mean?
Enough.
Do you think we should...
Time enough, Trade Away, time enough, I mean...
Do you think we should have 20 mph zones or not?
Where, you know? Why is he in such a rush?
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave that there because your phone's on in the background and we can hear two of you, which is very nice, but it doesn't make that much more sense. Let's get back to who else is with us now. Oh, it's Julian. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Oh, what a beautiful day, eh?
Gorgeous.
It keeps going.
Let's hope it's going to be like this for the pre-TT and for TT.
Yeah. It was a bit stormy in Tynwald yesterday, though, in the sitting. Several MHKs we're asking the chair of the MUA, Mr. Wannenberg, why is the cost of the Kervai wind farm gone up so much from $23 million to $40 million now? And Mr. Wannenberg gave various answers, including, we will not be stopping the process and we must see the process through. Now, they mentioned a document back which was published on the 4th of July, 2023. It's downloadable. Just need to look for Manx Utilities Operational Decision Making. That'll take you to the reports page, and just click on the tab that is labeled 2023 Decision Making Documents, and then there are two documents to download, which was talked about yesterday. I'll go into details in a minute, but my takeaway from all this is that the figures that Eerie Stain was favoured because the cost per megawatt to install it was $1.1 million per megawatt installed, and they're talking about 21 megawatts, so $1.1 million to install. Solby and Druidale was the other option, but it was rejected because the cost was too high at £1.4 million per megawatt. So too much at 1.4. But hang on a minute. Mr. Wannenberg clearly stated that Eerie Stain will cost $40 million yesterday for the current configuration. So that makes the cost per megawatt 1.9. That's 30% higher than the industry standard limit for even breaking even, and a whopping 70% above what the Eerie Stain figure was in the decision-making documents, and also splashed across the front of the Manx Independent on October 16th, 2023. So in other words, Kervai Wind Farm at Eerie Stain is not financially viable and should be stopped immediately based on the MUA's own figures. And don't forget that the decision-making documents are also basing their calculations on a wind farm lifespan of 30 years, which has never been achieved except using, shall we say, trigger's brush sleight of hand, replacing blades and gearboxes until, you know, basically it's unrecognizable. And also using load factors that are 2 and 3 times higher than the huge ones that we go past on the boat at Walney. So Julie Edge asked some questions about what happens if your calculations, what happens to your calculations if the gas price falls? And Mr. Wannenberg replied, I don't know. He also didn't know if there's any contingency built into any of these costs. Stop me whenever you want to, Andy.
I'm just interested. So you think that Eerie Stain should be stopped now? What, to replace it to go up to the north, or what?
It's not viable. All the calculations are completely out. There is no scientific reason as to why Eerie Stain is going to be twice as windy as Burradale on Shetland. I mean, I'm sorry, but the locals are up there, and there are hundreds of locals located very close to that area and who are up there all the time.
But at the back of all this, Julian, at the back of all this is a political decision, a policy decision by the Manx government that want to get our net zero target, and they want, and that's the way that they see it happening, is by having a wind farm. Now, I'm not saying, so nobody quote me on this, I'm not saying that they're saying we should have it come what may, because there's a green political initiative and that's the way we're going to have it. But at the moment, their mind seems set on having it, Julian.
Well, Mr. Wannenberg said, basically, come what may, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah.
I noticed in the operational decision-making documents, if anybody's actually downloaded and looking at that right now, the heading above the costings, say £23.5 million for Eerie Stain, the heading is total capex. If you look at the definition of total capex, it says it is intended to capture all the expenditures required to get a project from concept to operational status, including costs for feasibility studies, permitting, environmental assessments, pre-development costs, and design work. Well, Mr. Wannenberg was trying to make out that the pre-development costs are extra, which at the moment are just, 3.1 million or so. And on top of all this, Chris Thomas, who's last time I looked is an MHK, was asking, has this £40 million been approved? And my immediate thought was the horse tram rails, Andy, because Tim will approve that, and that didn't even happen. So if we think of the horse tram rails being removed that everybody basically wanted, you've got to ask the other question. This £23 million that was splashed across the Manx Independent, why was it splashed across the Manx Independent? Is it an impossible sales pitch to the taxpayer, even though they knew it was going to be more?
Well, remember, the taxpayer, the constituents, are going to have their say next September, Julian.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, sorry to have to say this, there are three kinds of fraud, and one of them, I'm going to ask the question if any of this is going to be true, it's a question, is called financial statement fraud. I think there should be an immediate stop to all CareVi activities and a truly independent audit, and I mean truly independent, not auditors that do the government stuff. And if anybody says, well, why would we want to do that? I'll quote, when people defend digital IDs, we're always told, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. So let's stop this nonsense right now and find out what is going on, because 40 million divided by the wind farm that they're talking about is 1.9 million per megawatt. It was rejected at 1.4. So can we please talk seriously?
Okay.
All right. This is ridiculous.
Appreciate it, Julian. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
28 minutes before one. Alan dropped a note in about yesterday when we had the matrons in yesterday. I had some tests at Nobles last week. The staff and the doctor I saw were brilliant. I just wondered, all the clipboard people wandering around, a lot of them, what do, the clipboard people? Surveys, perhaps? Considering that Castletown Road is... This is Southern Andy. Considering that Castletown Road is continuing to be closed for the DOI inserting new reflective studs, could they not take the opportunity to refresh the visual aspect of the Ferry Bridge? It TT less than 2 weeks. Wouldn't it be nice to make the bikers visiting the bridge feel that we actually look after the Ferry Bridge's appearance, says Andy. And a note in from Rebecca, who said, it's a big day for me today. I'm using the last of the pasta that I stockpiled during COVID. How much did you buy, Rebecca? Here's Andrew now. Hello, it's Andrew.
Hi there.
What's on your mind? What's on your mind?
Just three items now come to mind because you've just reminded me of something else. Let's deal with them. Yesterday's House of Keys, please. Question 13. Mr. Hooper's question to ask member of the Cabinet Office, Mr. Tim Krugel. Oh, no. To ask the Minister without portfolio, Mr. Tim Krugel.
Yep.
What savings or efficiencies he has identified since his appointment, and if he will make a statement. The best that I came out of digesting what he said was, correct me if I'm wrong, government assets which aren't used, which we can sell. Excuse me, Tim, how is that a saving? And it clearly isn't. So that just bolsters, I think, the fact that is he just there to provide an additional vote for Comyn? And I'll leave that, let that one hang.
Okay.
And then going back to question two, Mr. Glover's question to the Minister for Infrastructure, Michelle Hayward, how many bus routes are profitable? And coming out of that reply was the fact we don't have the data to identify which routes are profitable or not. And so surely that conflicts with what Mr. Krugel has told whichever house previously, that the Craigneish route was being axed because it was not profitable. So how has one got information and the other hasn't? So is one of these people, Mr. Krugel or the current minister, misleading the House? It has to be one or the other. Because they can't both be right.
Okay, and what else was
there? So if it transpires that, for example, Mr. Krugel has misled the House, what sanction is now available against him?
Okay.
And the last thing then was, brain was too, something in the last conversation, Andy.
Wind farms?
No. Oh, I know. It was a previous conversation, which I did send a message. Horse trams.
Yeah.
How is it that this year the horse trams are managing to run on a Monday? Whereas last year, they weren't able to run on a Monday. Have the horses union voted that they will extend their working hours?
And they got a shop steward. That's what it is.
Exactly. All righty. Thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Here's a message in also this... I love that. A message in also from Charlotte, who just says, what's that number? There was a free phone number you gave last week when you were talking about the energy efficiency scheme and the Green Living Grant. You gave a free phone number. What is it? 0808 162 4276. 0808 162 4276.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Millichaps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double folder beds to suit all budgets, including luxury pocket sprung options and a fabulous choice of sofa beds in a variety of styles and sizes. Perfect for home offices and spare rooms, and all in stock for speedy delivery when guests are expected. And don't forget the pillows and bedding, with plenty of choice available at Millichaps. For fold-up beds and more, visit Millichaps today.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
Skipton International has a fixed-rate bond at 4.4%.
Oh, really? That's a strong return. How does it work?
Skipton International's based in Guernsey, and with £100,000 or more deposit, you can lock in that great rate, fixed until 31st of March 2026.
Sounds like a smart move. I'll check it out.
For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730. Or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And John's on now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. Monday, we came out of Colburn's in Victoria Street, and across the road there were two people, obviously off the cruise ship, with a map, turning it round, upside down, you name it, and headed off up Prospect Hill. So my wife shouted to them, "Are you lost?" And they said, "Yes, we're looking for some shops." So if they'd gone up Prospect Hill, they'd have probably got onto Rosemount Terrace and thought that was a shopping centre.
Oh, crikey.
Anyway, my wife said to them, if you go down there, I can't think of the name of the street now, you'll be at the bottom, you'll be at the back of Marksies. Walk straight through and you'll be in the shopping street. But they'd walked up Victoria Street and could not find the shopping centre.
Yeah.
So there's obviously not a sign. Now, the other thing, I think the tourist board, or whatever, it was not a tourist board now, they boast about having, is it 39 cruise ships in?
Yeah.
We were on a cruise, Orkney and Shetland. They have 300, or nearly 300 cruise ships calling a year, what they call the cruise season. And, you know, I don't know what we'd do if we had 300, because there's an awful lot of cruise ships go up and down past us on the West Coast and don't call here. When we were on this cruise, it was a British Isles cruise, and we came down from Orkney, Shetland, down, and ended up in Holyhead. Now, to put it down, nothing wrong with Holyhead, except there's nothing there. They'd have been far better off if they'd called in the Isle of Man. And then we went on to Southern Ireland. But, you know, there's something wrong somewhere when there's 300 cruise ships round the Isles, the Shetland and Orkney, and we get 39 of them.
So how many of those were you anchored in a bay and had to go on a tender to there, and how many tied up at a dock?
It depends. First cruise ship in gets the berth.
Right.
The other, there's sometimes three a day, but the first one gets the berth. The two and three, they anchor ports. So, you know, they get all sizes of ships, obviously.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of them are coming from Norway calling at Shetland and Orkney and going on to Iceland, not actually coming near the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
But an awful lot do go down in the overnight down the west coast. You know, but
yeah.
I don't know what we'd do if we got 300.
We'd panic, that's what we'd do.
Now, the other thing, your bus company talking about they don't know which... when I retired from the civil service, I went driving the buses for 5 years and enjoyed it. But I always understood the whole bus service didn't actually show a profit. It was a service subsidised by the government. I don't think any of it shows a profit. So I can't understand why they cut the one going to the Carfa Man. You know, because after all, one of the minibuses, and there's a hell of a lot of minibuses sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The thing is that obviously years and years ago we had a thriving coach industry. Which was all private industry. So you just wonder now why is there this kind of disconnect between this? Why do you think there is?
I know. I used to drive coaches years and years ago out of Ramsey, and we could fill it, particularly if it was a cloudy, wet day. You could fill a coach, no trouble. You know, that's another thing with the horse trams. I was driving 8 foot 3 inch wide coaches, which is the maximum. I had no problem going between parked cars and the horse tram. You know, people say, oh, because holds up the traffic. They're afraid to go through in a car.
And that was without power steering.
No, I think I had power steering.
Oh, did you?
I had power steering, 4-speed gearbox with a 20-speed back axle, yeah. Mm. But, we had power steering, yeah. But in the old day, in the old buses and the PDE1s and all that, they had no power steering at all. But,
yeah. Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, John. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate your call on Man in Line today. It's, what are we now, 17 minutes before what? Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, I've had my cheese omelette and it was mighty.
Lovely.
Yeah, I had it at 4 o'clock this morning. I had a bit of cheese, had a bit of egg, put it in the frying pan for 5 minutes. Job's a good one. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Julian.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
With respect, when are we going to actually stand on our own 3 feet and start taking responsibility for our own energy generation?
Well, we generate our own stuff now anyway. We generate our own electricity at Paul Rose.
But we're mostly on the energy converter, aren't we, with the energy pipe coming across from the UK and all the power stations over there?
Well, we use the interconnector as a backup. It's not, I mean, our primary source is the Paul Rose power station.
Yeah, I mean, it's a power cable, isn't it? I don't know about the interconnector. It seems a bit of a funny word.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just a big wire that goes between the Isle of Man and Blackpool.
Well, it just seems like another Netflix subscription or something like that, to be honest with you, because we're paying over the odds for that, aren't we? When are we going to do it ourselves?
Well, what they want to do is, by putting the wind farm in the south, they say we'll generate our own electricity. When it works, obviously, when the wind blows.
Hope they do it as well. Hope they get it sorted.
Okay.
Hope we do.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. It's trying to get to all these messages, including the big bangs that people are hearing are on the East Coast.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Yeah, I got a message in from Samantha who just said, I heard somebody mentioned the big bangs on Manx Radio. People have been hearing house-shaking booms over the past week or so around the Doon, Mackled and Laxey. They've been going on for years, 20 years and more. It's military, the military noises, and the current high pressure seems to make the noise travel further. So it's widely heard across the Isle of Man. There's a site called Kinetic, which carries out work on behalf of the UK military. Ministry of Defence under contract for the Secretary of State for Defence. And because of the nature of the work, they can't tell us. It's a bit sneaky-beaky. They can't tell us exactly what it is. But there is a firing schedule all this week during the day. So if you're on the East Coast and you hear a big bang, Sellafield hasn't blown up. A statement on their website says all activity on the site is conducted in a strictly controlled environment and presents no danger to the public. They say the weather, tide times and other operational requirements play a crucial part in trials planning and scheduling. Any one or combination of the factors may mean the activity has to be cancelled and rescheduled at short notice. So you hear it when you hear it. The flying of red flags at the range boundary or the yellow flag at further points indicates to members of the public that the range is active and there'll be firing activities taking place. At these times, the bylaws noted on the signs near the flags are in force. If the red and yellow flags are not flying, the range isn't active. So Kinetic carries out the work at MOD Eskmeals on behalf of the Ministry of Defence under contract to the Secretary of State for Defence in the UK. So obviously they can't tell us, but yes, it is making the bangs.
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes, we have. Office World.
For all things stationery, from pens, pencils, paper, and ink cartridges to desking and seating, Office World has it. Call 666-366. Come down to Spring Valley Industrial Estate, Braddon, to find out more of what's in store.
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes, we have. Office World.
In life, we plan for birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. But what about planning for the unexpected?
I've worked hard all my life. I want to make sure everything's in place for my family.
Mann Benham understands. We specialise in enduring powers of attorney, mental health receiverships, and are there for you when mental capacities decline.
Thanks to Mann Benham, your legacy is protected.
Secure your family's future today. Visit manbenham.com, because peace of mind is the best legacy.
I love to drive.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Man in Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Man in Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Man in Motors.
The Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra with special guests is staging a fabulous concert with music by Chabrier, Mussorgsky's Night on a Bare Mountain, Britain's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, and Mahler's Symphony No. 1. An evening of extraordinary music in the Villa Marina Royal Hall on Saturday, the 17th of May at 7:30. Tickets on sale now.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Bonzo. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Just hearing what you were saying about the ranges being active,
yeah,
off the East Coast. If at night someone sees a big laser beam, then please tell us and take a photo.
What will it be?
That will be the Navy. Well, the Army are getting it as well. For defense, the new Dragonfire laser system.
Wow. Okay.
It's a 50 kilowatt laser.
God, grief.
And it can shoot down sort of incoming drones and things.
Anyway, that wasn't why you called.
No, that wasn't why I called. So Julian and these figures and this table. Now, the figures to which he's referring and the table, I think, to which he's referring, which I would be looking at on my computer had it not stalled and then reconfigured a Windows update. So it's still being blue at the moment, little circles going round. Typical. I shall have words with the computer later. But that table, it clearly states at the base of that table that those are illustrative costs. They are not authoritative costs. And I think that the screenshot that Jason Morehouse has been using The screenshot doesn't cover that bit on the bottom that says that it's illustrative costs. But if you then look at the columns, citing the figures, the column is headed rough cost and refers to rough cost. And in the text on the above the table, it refers to rough cost. So to go around saying, oh, well, it's dreadful, why is it not this number when it should be that number, just really doesn't take very much into account. For example, there should be, a prudent project manager would probably put about 20% contingency on this. Right? So looking at the 23 and a half million, or looking at the... Yeah, looking at the 23.5 million figure, so that's another 4.6. Right? So then you're starting to get to near a 30 million. Then you haven't accounted for inflation over the period of project preparation and construction, and there has been quite a substantial amount of inflation into that. So that then transfers into the total cost. And the final authorization on this hasn't been voted through Tynwald, as far as I'm aware, because that final authorization for the expenditure has to come after the planning permission has been granted. So there's a lot of misunderstanding floating around on this, and I dare say for some people that misunderstanding might be helpful towards their arguments.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. We'll keep our eyes open for the laser. Thanks for that.
Yes, keep an eye on it. Thanks. Bye.
Good to hear from you. A note in also that somebody said you haven't congratulated Gabriella Corkish yet. Gabriella Corkish is she the youngest? She may be the youngest commissioner on the Isle of Man. Onken Commissioner, a voice for young people, Gabriella Corkish, the youngest local authority member on the island, and she wants to encourage young people to engage in Manx politics. And if the name's familiar, she's the granddaughter of former MHK Jeff Corkish and apparently wants to follow in Jeff's footsteps. Maybe she's got a voice as good as he has. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, mate. All right.
Very well.
Good. I've not been on for a while. I've just been away on holiday for a fortnight. And prior to that, I did a fortnight of just listening to the programme and not making any comments.
Okay.
But I just want to... yesterday, I listened to... I came back on Monday, listened to the politics yesterday, and I am amazed that we're still actually talking about this wind farm. Just to cast your mind back to when the MUA and Wardell Armstrong did a roadshow right around the island. We went to all those meetings, and during that course, there was a couple of things that were mentioned, and I asked the MUA and Wardell Armstrong about them, and letting them know that we had people who were involved in the Aerostain area who were very, very familiar with the radar at the airport and how much the last lot cost that we had done. And when we asked them the questions about would it need any alterations because of the wind farm, we were all aware and made aware at the time that it could cost between 30 and 50 million pounds to put a new radar system in because of these turbines. And that was more or less fact. So when Mr. Wannenberg yesterday was quoting 40 million pounds, I think we can double that straight away, can't we, with the new radar system.
Well, that won't come out of that budget, will it? That will come out of somebody else's budget, so...
Yeah, but it's just because of that it creates another expense. But nobody mentions any of these yesterday. Oh, we're going to go ahead with it. I am actually amazed that we're even still thinking about it.
What's the feeling? What's the feeling like, Eddie, amongst the pressure group, the people that are against it? You talk to people.
Yeah, I think we are aware that we'd have to be mad to go ahead with it. Can I just say to you, my fortnight's holiday I've just come back off was touring Scotland. And one of my little pastimes was counting how many turbines are going and how many are not going. And everywhere we went that had them, and noticing also at the same time that they're not in the national parks, you know, they're always stuck elsewhere, and Dumfries and Galloway are fighting like mad to have them kept out of theirs, but I would say at least 30% of them are not even working. And because of that, all that type over there, the minute they're not working, you're still paying for them. And that's why electricity is costing so much. And people in that I've asked in Scotland, they're just not with it. They were promised cheap electricity, but they're not getting it.
Good. Thanks for calling today, Eddie. Good to hear from you.
Hey, mate.
Glad you had a good holiday. The new highway code mentioned this morning, if we're to overtake cyclists at 1.5 metres, does that mean that cyclists will only be able to cycle single file? I've seen 2 and 3 and even 4 abreast recently on the Peel Road. So 1.5 metres means we can't overtake the bunched up cyclists on the narrow Isle of Man Road, says Donna. And Caitlin dropped me a note in to say, that's nothing. That lady who's just used her COVID stockpile pasta, I've got 10 jars of instant coffee that I'm gradually working my way through. It'll keep. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today. Back tomorrow with another open line. All about pharmacists on Friday, by the way. WINT.